Well, good morning. Thank you. Good to have you at Open Arms Church. Happy New Year. Thank you. Trust that you had a blessed Christmas. It was so good to be together last weekend. Those two services we had Saturday evening, Sunday morning, just a special time. We're so glad that you could be with us. Many of you met a number of new friends, guests, your friends. It was a special time. And as we continue to seek the Lord, serve Him this morning as we worship Him, we know we're going to have His presence as well. Hopefully every one of you has a program. You'll be able to follow along, see some announcements, things that are happening. We have a workshop happening here in a few weeks, sexual abuse prevention workshop. Important topic in our day, in our dark days. And we want to equip you, encourage you, give you insight. Help as you come alongside with discerning ears and eyes to help others. And we invite you to be a part of that workshop. You'll see some information in your program about that. We'll need you to RSVP in the foyer. We want to provide some food. We expect the workshop to be about an hour. There will be an open question-answer time as well. And so be thinking about that. Be prepared to sign up, whether it's today or the next few weeks. We're looking to take care of your children as well, appropriate ages. You'll see that information in the program, but we'll only know to be prepared for that if you sign up. If you're a guest to Open Arms, it's your first or second time with us, we're so glad that you're here. You may have a question or two. We'd be glad to answer that. We're gonna have a workshop the first Sunday of February, February 4th, I believe, called Discovering Open Arms. You'll hear more about that next week and the week after that. But if you have a question beforehand, if we can encourage you, pray for you beforehand, use that connection card in the seat pocket in front of you. Fill that out. Let us know who you are. Drop that in the Welcome Center booth as you leave today. If you haven't already visited that Welcome Center booth on a previous visit, go by there. Folks there will want to give you a gift bag saying, glad that you're here. If you have a question for them, they'll be glad to answer it. If you have a prayer need, they will be glad to pray with you as well. But drop in that connection card and someone will follow up with you this week, privately, personally, to answer your question and to encourage you. You'll also know in the program as well that we'll be starting some groups here later this month, and you'll have opportunity over the next 2 weeks to learn more about those. But we look to have a dozen or so groups happening here at the church, in homes, day, afternoon, evening, but an opportunity for us to connect. Connect with each other, get to know each other, grow in relationship with one another, and then open up God's Word and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and His Word as well. And you'll hear more about that. As we go to prayer, it's been a challenging week, a difficult season. We're so grateful for the grace of God and the ministry of the family of God in these difficult times. Jerry Lambert, our dear friend who has battled courageously cancer for quite a while, passed this past week, and we will be hosting a celebration of life service here at Open Arms this Thursday. 9 a.m. will be a viewing, followed by the funeral service at 10:30. Continue to pray for Fran. Continue to pray for Jerry's adult children, multiple grandchildren. We love Jerry. He loved you, and he loved the Lord. One of Jerry's good friends, Joe Giaquinto, a part of the family of God, right now at Ellis Hospital, and he's fighting for his life. He's intubated, and doctors are still trying to figure out what's gone on, but he's been there since Thursday. And just pray for Judy, his wife. Pray for his children, adult children, as we look to come alongside and minister to that family. It's been a difficult season for them. And then just recently, you may have been aware or just hearing for the first time, our dear sisters in Christ, Jennifer and Marie Wintermute here, who came to Open Arms in 2020. And that was in the midst of a tragedy in their own life when their parents lost their lives in a car accident. And their younger sister and her husband lost their lives here in the last 48 hours in a tragic car accident in California. And there's four young children who have survived. And so Jennifer and Marie are heading out mid this week to California to be a part of the family and their extended family. And they can use our prayer too as they're brokenhearted. And we weep with them, Lord, in this difficult time for their lives. And there's other challenges that are going through, you're walking through, and are happening in your lives. Relationships, financial struggles, lack of peace, job influx. And so we don't walk through those things alone. We have each other as the family of God, brothers and sisters. But we also have the Lord, and we have His Spirit to help us, to comfort us, to give us insight, wisdom, discernment, inner strength. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer for these needs, and then we're going to come back and we have some other exciting news, more joyful news to share with you what God is doing in our midst as well. And isn't that the truth? Isn't that life? There are seasons of being downcast, being brokenhearted, being challenged, but also God's always at work in raising up people He's drawing to Himself and laborers to reach and minister to those that He is drawing to Himself. Father, we lean into You now, so grateful that in heavy times, times of great loss, times of great need, crying out to You for healing and for strength and for wholeness, we do that now. Lord, we thank You for these folks that we've mentioned. There is every indication that they have a relationship with You through Your great grace, Christ, of going to the cross for them, and that measure of faith that they have reached out and have believed on You for salvation. And so even now, our brother Jerry, he's away from the tent, his body, but in Your very presence. For that we rejoice, though we miss him. May Fran and Lord Jerry's family and extended family, and we, his extended family, have comfort from You, strength from You, love from You, as we give it to one another, and especially to Fran and the family. Lord, we lift up our brother Joe. Lord, even now, God, that You would give comfort, and we pray for healing and wholeness to his body. I know doctors are trying to figure things out. Oh, Lord, that they would have a quickened mind and spirit from You, discernment from You. Lord, I lift up Judy to You. I lift up Joe's children, the many grandchildren, his brother, his wife, all of those. Lord, that Your personal presence, You would draw them to Yourself and comfort them in this time. And Lord, our precious sisters, Jennifer and Marie, Lord, as they walk through this season, they do not walk alone. You are their God. Oh, Lord, and the comfort that we as their family have received from You, that may we come along with wisdom, with a word of comfort and strength, that they might know that You are with them and You are for them. And I thank You, Lord, that we can love them. And I pray for the community of faith in California that would surround that family, for the precious children that have survived. Oh, Lord, that You would use this to reveal Yourself in a deep and personal way. So, God, we lean into You. Thank You that we could gather together as Your children and as brothers and sisters in such a season. Jesus, in Your name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned, in times of great need, in times of challenge and difficulty, God's also alive and is at work, drawing people to Himself and uses us in various ways. So today, we're calling it Commissioning Sunday. In a few moments, we will be speaking about the great opportunity to launch Fireside Church here this morning. And you'll hear about what God's been doing as that folks have been gathering, and Pastors Josh and Will have gathered. And we're going to share more about that in a few moments. But also, we have a family in our midst who are going to join us here on the platform. And they are this Wednesday heading out to El Salvador. So Josh and Laura Bailey, along with their children, Caleb, Anna, and Abigail, are going for 10 days to a World Medical Mission, which is under the umbrella of Samaritan's Purse. And Laura, who is a physician's assistant, will be working in the hospital there. Josh and the children will be working and serving in an orphanage school that is there as well. And so we're sending them off, and we're grateful for their heart. As a matter of fact, Josh and Laura met in prepping for a mission trip to Peru a number of years ago. They've been since to Guatemala and to West Africa, Mali specifically, doing ministries, and they've always had a heart to continue to do missions, ministries like this, especially medical needs, and to introduce their children to those needs. So we send them off with our prayer and our support, and you'd be praying every day from January 3rd, even previously, and as they arrive, we look forward to debriefing them until January 10th as they are used of the Lord in this special time. Let me pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, just how you meet us in our daily lives, and there's times where you intercept us, and the burden you've put on our heart, the truth from your word, when we read and meditate, you call us to serve you in such a time like this, in such a way like this. And so we pray for this family as they have sought your will and have they've stepped up to obey you, Lord, to go and be a blessing and to serve, Lord, this country, and in particular in this hospital, and to these precious children, to others who might gather. I thank you for the skill and the heart that you've given Laura. And Lord, she lays that down at your feet and wants to be used of you, not only to bring that skill as a physician's assistant, to bring medical care and just healing, but also to bring the gospel, looking for those opportunities to share the love of Christ with her patients, with fellow staff there at the hospital and others, and that you would use Josh and the children as they intermingle with children who have great heartache, who have lost parents, who maybe have parents who were not doing what they ought to have been doing, had to be pulled from those homes. Lord, that you would use them to minister the love, the grace, the kindness of Christ. And we pray, God, for open doors for them to be able to share Jesus. So, Lord, we as a church family, we send them off, Lord, into your capable hands, put a hedge of protection around them in every way possible, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually as they serve you in this matter. And may the power and the grace of your Spirit use them, Lord, as they look for opportunities, their spiritual antenna up, to share the love of Christ with others. So look forward to when you bring them home to hear of how you've answered the cry of our heart here this morning, and we look forward to praying for them, Lord, as they depart. In Christ's name, amen.
There we go. Thought of some details, but not that detail. So these last several months, we have been trying not to move this too much. Got it? These last several months, we've been walking through the book of Acts together on Sunday morning. We have seen God at work. God at work through the first followers of Jesus. In fact, that's been the name of our series, God at Work. And so this morning, kind of on the back door, very much on the back door of 2023, and as we look to commission Fireside Church, and particularly Josh and Will, to the work of shepherding Fireside Church, it seems appropriate for us to look at Acts and remember some of the things that we've seen, some of the things that we've seen God do, and how God worked, not just back then, but we've been saying it over and over in Acts. What we learn is not just how he worked, but how he works, that God is at work still today. There's a verse in chapter 1 that I want to look at. It's in your program, if you have the program. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Acts 1:8 is really kind of the book of Acts in a nutshell. Acts 1:8 is a summary of pretty much everything we've seen. It previews what comes forward after chapter 1. So let's read it. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus talking to his followers, and he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And that's what happens in the book of Acts. That's what we've seen, that Jesus left, but he used his followers to spread his message. He worked through his people to make himself known, what he's done and who he is. Towards the end of that verse really spells out the outline kind of where God worked. says he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In chapter 2, from chapter 2 to chapter 7, that's what we saw is really focused in and around Jerusalem, God at work through his people, making him known, God drawing more and more people to Jesus. In chapter 8, starting in chapter 8, it kind of turns the corner. Things heat up in Jerusalem, and so the followers of Jesus are scattered, it says in chapter 8. They're scattered out of Jerusalem to the region around in Judea and Samaria. And so for 4 chapters, the focus is on the region around Jerusalem, just like Jesus said. And then in chapter 13, at a church family, and a church family not too much different than ours, in a place far away from here, in Antioch, the Holy Spirit led the church to send out 2 men, Barnabas and Paul. They laid hands on them. We're going to do that this morning with Josh and Will. They laid hands on them. It's a symbolic way of saying we affirm what God is doing through these men, and we're asking God to fill them with his strength and wisdom as they go. They laid hands on Paul and Barnabas, and they sent them out. And they went to, just like Jesus said, the ends of the earth. So from chapter 13 to chapter 20, what we saw is place after place that they went to, and sharing about Jesus, and God at work drawing people to himself. That's what God has done in the book of Acts so far. We're going to see him continue to do that, using his people to draw others to trust in Jesus for forgiveness and to follow Jesus. That's the end of this verse, Acts 1:8, where God worked. But we see not just where he worked, but how he worked and how he works today at the beginning of this verse. Right, those first few words, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." There's 3 things we see here: is we see God's plan, we see God's people, and we see God's power. God has a plan. We see in the book of Acts, those first followers didn't quite understand God's plan at the time. Verse 6 and 7, if you read that in your program, what happens right before Jesus says this is they say something. They say, so when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They're saying, is that the plan, Jesus? Like right now? You're going to make everything right? Some of the things, those things that we sung this morning, that you're going to make all things new, and you're going to kick out Rome, they would have thought. You're going to make everything perfect. Is it right now? Is this when? Is that the plan? And Jesus, he says, no, that's not the plan. In verse 7, he says, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." No, it's not now, and the plan is not for you to know exactly when. And then verse 8, but here's the plan. That's what Jesus says. Here's the plan. It wasn't on their radar, but everything that we see happen in the book of Acts was God's plan. That's what God had planned. What happened in the book of Acts didn't come out of a strategy session, you know, in the upper room with the apostles. It wasn't their idea. It was God's idea. To use them to make him known, to draw people from every nation, every language, every area to himself. That was God's plan. We started the book of Acts back in January. I think the first or second week of January. And we had no idea that on December 31st, we would be commissioning a new church and sending 2 pastors here to shepherd that church. That wasn't our plan. That wasn't on our radar as a church. To be quite honest with you, that was months from being on the even a thought in the minds of your pastors. But God had a plan. God is still at work, and he's still sending, and he still wants to use us to be witnesses for him in new places with new people. God has a plan. He did then, he still does. We see God's plan, and we see God's plan is to use his people. You see the second word in verse 8, he says, here's the plan. You will receive power. He says a little later on, he says, you will be my witnesses. Now, it's interesting because in verse 6, they ask him, they say, are you going to restore the kingdom, Jesus? What are you going to do, Jesus? And what he does is he turns to them and he says, no, here's the plan. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to be witnesses. Now, if we think about this, think about who was standing there. Many of them were the apostles. The apostles were the ones who followed Jesus, but they're also the ones who deserted Jesus. If you remember that, when Jesus was arrested, they ran away. Peter, who God worked through a lot in the book of Acts, he didn't just run away. He denied Jesus 3 times to protect himself when Jesus was in the most trouble. Jesus denied him. Later on, one of the yous that God uses is Paul. Paul, in chapter 9, it says he attacked Christians. He was going to drag them out of their homes. He was taking women and children and throwing them into prison because they followed Jesus. And yet God used him, got his attention, grabbed a hold of his life, and then used him. Half of the book of Acts is about God working through Paul, a man who hated Christians and even approved of them being executed. God's plan was to use his people and to raise up people, and that's still his plan. God's plan is to use you. God's plan is to use me. And we might think, well, you know, oof, you don't know what I've done in my past. I don't feel particularly qualified, you know, moving forward. I'm just not very good at this. I just feel very weak, and I don't know. Maybe it's other yous that God has planned to use. But see, God's plan is to bring people to himself, to change them, to fill them, to use them in his plan to make him known. His plan is not just to use Pastor Josh and Pastor Will as they lead out in shepherding Fireside. His plan is to use all of those who go as part of Fireside to make him known. And his plan isn't just to use those who go. His plan is to use all of us, even those who are here at Open Arms, who stay at Open Arms. His plan is to use us to make him known. God's plan is to use his people. And one of the last things we see is his plan is to give his people power, to give his people strength. Do you see that in verse 8? But you will receive power. You will receive power, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, notice what it doesn't say. Jesus doesn't look at his followers and he doesn't say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to reach deep down inside and find your inner strength and work my plan. That's not what he says. He doesn't look at them and say, I'm glad you're here. I've gathered you all because you're really powerful people. That's not what he says. He says, I want you to stay here because you're going to receive power. I am going to be your strength. So he said, the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you the strength to do what I've told you to do. It's not you that's going to do it. It's me in you. And the plan hasn't changed. The plan hasn't changed. His plan is still to use his people and to provide the strength that we need to do the work that he calls us to do. Again, in a few minutes, we're going to have Pastor Josh and Pastor Will come up, and we're going to lay hands on them like they did in Acts 13. And the picture is that the picture and what we're going to do is pray that God would fill them with his strength, with his wisdom, with his endurance. Because here's the thing, Josh and Will don't have the wisdom they need in themselves. They don't have the strength. They won't have the endurance unless God continues to help them and strengthen them. And it's the same for Pastor John, for Pastor Brian, for myself. And it's not just for pastors that's true, it's for all of us. The only way we're going to be able to live for Jesus is if Jesus lives in us and we rely on him helping us. It's his power. Do you know the Bible says that God, he didn't choose any of us because we're strong. He didn't say, wow, that person has a really great resume. I need to pull him in and utilize his strengths. Now, the Bible says the opposite. That it says that he chose Israel, a small, tiny family, not because they were the greatest, but because they were the weakest, so that he could show himself strong. He says that he chooses the weak things of the world to show his strength through us. If you feel weak, if you feel inadequate, if you feel not qualified, God says, perfect. Perfect. If you trust me, if you rely on me, you're the kind of person that I want to use. Because who gets the credit is God working through us. He chooses jars of clay, it says, broken pots. And he fills us with his strength so that what leaks out is Jesus. And people see that. God's at work still today. And he has a plan to use his people to give them the strength and power to make him known so that many others trust and follow Jesus. Pastor John.
So how do we get here? About to commission Fireside Church. It's been in our DNA from the very beginning. This will be our 10th church plant in our 30-year plus existence. 1996 was our first. What a heart that you have, Open Arms, because you understand the word and you see it's been God's idea from the beginning to reach precious people in local towns and cities by planting churches. It's great to have visiting evangelists come through a town and to go to a stadium or set up a tent or visit a community center and share Jesus. And many can respond to the gospel. What happens when he leaves? There needs to be a local church. But what about that local church who has a heart? Every single part of that body who has a heart to share Jesus. And not just waiting for the quote-unquote professional evangelist or pastor to come and share, but they themselves are sharing with family members who have yet to meet Christ, their schoolmates, their co-workers, and their neighbors. Where will they invite them to come and gather? Especially when that friend says or is sharing the gospel and says, well, I go to church about 20 minutes away. Well, I'm not traveling 20 minutes. Maybe that was your experience before you became a follower of Christ. Many of us will travel many more miles and much longer distance than 20 minutes to gather with others to learn the scripture and to grow as a disciple of Christ. But that one who God's drawing, that one who's just coming, we want to plant churches in those local cities and towns. And Open Arms, you've been doing that for a long time. Well done. So about May of this past year, 1992. Oh, it's not the first time I've forgotten a date or something. It started, well, I don't remember when it started. But April or May of this year, these seats were getting filled. Folks were coming through those doors, eyes getting wide, couldn't find a seat. Many of you on our greeting team were helping them find seats all over the place. Two over here, three over here. We didn't want to split up families. And so our responsibility as pastors will begin to pray and to talk. What do? Two quick options were before us. We start a second service and Open Arms Church becomes larger, or we plant a church. in a certain location. And the excitement in the room, the elevation in the room, was much more contagious when we talked about planning a church. And so in a few short hours and in a few short weeks, we just had a sense that God was calling for us to plant a church. Pastor Josh and Pastor Will had a strong interest to be the planting team for that new church plant. We did some demographic assessments and some surveys, and we saw across the river in the Glenville Burnt Hills area, nearly 70,000 people lived, and what a place, where some of our own folks lived to plant that church. In late July of this year, early August, we communicated to the church, here's where we're at. Here's what we're sensing. We bring it to you. We asked you to pray, and we asked you to consider going. If not challenging you to consider going as you prayed. We invited all of you to sit with Pastor Josh and or Pastor Will if you had any interest or you had any questions as to what this might look like. And at the same time, in mid-October, Will and Josh started to sit with others, sit with you, answer your questions, and on October 17th was the launch of a preview service where those who were sharing interest, who were saying, I'm all in. In that preview service, it was, let's figure out what worship services may look like, what community gatherings may look like. And as they began to meet, as they began to pray, and as they developed a website, put it out there, and we shared with you, Open Arms, check out the website. See the vision, the values of this church plant. See when they're meeting, see what's happening. And they began to meet here on Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. And as folks began to gather, and in the last ensuing months, folks were coming in and out just to check out, just to ask questions, to see what was happening. God, give me direction. Some of you might be hearing about this venture for the first time. You've been new. Some of you have been here for many years, and you might have heard it the first time, but now you go, whoa, what? This is really happening? It's really happening. It's exciting. It's a commissioning. It's all about what God is up to. It's God-sized, it's kingdom-focused, and in the early DNA of Fireside Church, just like in the early DNA of Open Arms Church and every ensuing church plant we've been involved, we were saying, let it be about reaching that community for Jesus Christ and not just about reaching other believers and gathering and having something new in a new city and town. But there has to be that edge of reaching that community. And those who have gathered, those who are ready to go, that's what they've been praying about. That's what their antenna is up, looking to be, looking to do, exactly as we see here in the book of Acts and exactly what's in the DNA of our church family for many years. In this season and in this time, and in a much different way than the other nine churches that we've planted, this one's so much more personal. We're sending two beloved pastors. Josh and Heather have been with us for 17 years. Josh has served as a pastor for 10 years. We got to remember that and celebrate that just a few months ago. Will has been with us, and Victoria, Will in particular, for almost 7 years. Will and his wife, Victoria, have served in our youth ministry for nearly 3.5 years. Right now, on Sunday evenings, nearly 40 students gather. They hear the word of God. They're meeting with each other, encouraging each other, challenging each other, living for Jesus amongst one another. God's doing a great work. So in that 7 years in Victoria, here at Open Arms for 28 years, 36 days, and 9 hours. We're sending them out. But not only them. I was here last night for a short period of time, and there was that group, some of the all-ins and some that are saying, I'm really leaning towards this, had gathered to pray and to have a pre-launch party. I thought there were maybe 50 or 60 people, Pastor Josh said this morning, oh, maybe 40. But I'm believing there's going to be 50, 60, 70. We're going to be part of that group that step out and to say, hey, God, use us, just like you used our mother church some 31 years ago that gathered with one family, became two, three, four single individuals, and to this day has been involved in planting 10 churches. Pastor Kevin said, that's no man who can take credit for that. No group of people can take credit for that. All of that is in God's mind. That's God's idea. It's here in his word. And he's saying, are you reading? Are you listening? Are you asking God to speak, to control, guide, and direct your lives? He says, and I will have you be a part in some way. It may be continuing to pray fervently. To go because you live in that community or you don't live in that community, but God's calling you to go. And to give. How exciting it was just a few short weeks ago in our budget meeting when we talked about Fireside Church for 1 year. 100% of their needs are going to be provided for by Open Arms Church. And you voted 100% unanimous to make that happen. What a blessing. What a heart sacrificially. Not just to go, not for us to just send with our blessing people, our friends, our family, core members of the Open Arms Church, now being core members of Fireside Church, servant leaders, faithful friends. But sacrificing, sacrificing, sacrificing. And who's our example? Jesus. Almighty God had it pretty good with the Father, pretty comfortable. But his heart was for those he had created in his own image, who had rebelled against him and would not ever, ever, ever truly turn to him. And so he came and he gave and he rose and he began drawing and calling. And you and I never know the time and the place and the person in which he's beginning to call and to draw to himself. How many times did you hear the gospel for somebody faithfully looking to plant a seed until you turned to Jesus? For me, it was 9 years from the first time I heard the gospel in a clear, articulate way until I surrendered to Jesus was 9 years. And countless people had planted seeds. We just never know when God's going to give us a new birth, give us that new life. And so as we continue to pray for that church across the river, and right now, and beginning January 6th, it's open, it's public. They're going to, up to this point, they haven't been inviting the public, inviting the community to come, but then they're going to be doing that. And we pray they're going to be here on Saturday nights at 6 o'clock, but the hope, the prayer, the vision is that at some point soon, somewhere across the river in the Glenville, Burnt Hills area, some kind of property, you know, maybe under a big wigwam tree in the summer, and who knows where in the winter. But looking to reach that community. And so we pray. And some of you may be called to go at that time. Our lives are not our own. They've been purchased by Christ. And when we listen to him, we go where he tells us to go. Because he has a plan and a purpose. So we encourage you in that. Pastor Josh and Pastor will be here at Open Arms, halftime for this year. Will and Victoria will continue to serve our youth ministry, give it all they have to encourage and build up We have a dynamic group of youth ministry leaders, many of them who are going to be a part of Fireside, and many of them who are going to continue to serve with our youth ministry. And God's going to raise up other youth ministry leaders, because that's what he does. In four of the church plants that we've started, we sent out groups of people. With one, we sent out two families. With another, 28 individuals went. And the other two, somewhere in between. And God has always raised up people within our midst, in that void, in that vacuum, to lead and to serve. That's God's idea. That's what he does. When Peter was gone and Paul was gone and James and John, did the church die? No. He raised up qualified men and women to serve him in the body of Christ. And he's going to continue to do that in open arms, because we're listening to him. We're obeying and following him, sacrificing for him. Do you think he's going to say, oh, I'm going to punish you now for that? No, he says, watch what I do. He's saying, you've done that for me because you've listened to me. So we're going to continue to listen to them. And Fireside, as that gets sent out, guess what's going to be deep and steep and rich in their DNA? Planting other churches. Farther down the North Way or across or west, wherever God calls them and wherever people begin to gather at Fireside who live in another locale. Pastor Will also be helping to refresh our online media look. He'll be working with Eric, our media director, in doing that. Pastor Josh will continue to counsel and minister in our midst. He will continue to oversee and work with our missions ministries, the City Mission, the Alpha Center, other ministries. And he'll continue to take other administrative ministries and systems in our church and transfer them over to Pastor Brian. Some of those that even Pastor Josh developed. But we're able to do that because you're able to respond and say, this is wise to work this way together. So in those few minutes, as we pray, as we send them off, many of you in this room are going. We're so proud of you, so grateful that you're going. Some of you aren't sure yet. You listen to the Lord. He will guide you with his peace that passes human understanding. That's how he'll answer you as you listen. And for those of us that God is calling to stay, and yet you have a heart, he's going to guide you with his peace. And we together, as the mother of Fireside, will continue to be available to nurture, to encourage, to serve, and to help. And not just by ourselves, because there's nobody in this church who's a church planning expert. We've asked two outside entities to come alongside Fireside Church. And Josh and Will have already met with the leaders of those ministries. One of them is a Hudson Baptist Association, and we have a church planting director who has 24 years of church planting experience, supervisory experience. He's met with them. He's worked with them. He's assessed them. And then we have a national organization called the SEND Network, which is part of the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. It's one of the largest, most fruitful church planting networks in the country. Josh and Will went to Boston earlier this month, sat with a group of church planting experts, were assessed by them, and both those groups come back and they say, we're willing to come alongside and provide training, equipping, and accountability to these two guys as you open arms sponsor them and support them. And we also are committed, as they follow our recommendations, to provide financial support for the next 4 or 5 years. You see, there's many, many people, dozens, hundreds, thousands of people who are interested in planting churches in the Northeast, who will rally and say, yeah, there's a process, there's a way. And we're in this together, partnering in this together for one purpose, so that the good news of Christ, who he truly is and what he accomplished, those seeds can be cast out. So the precious souls, the lives that he loves, can hear and then come under beautiful, holy conviction that they don't know God. And with a heart to repent, to turn towards him, be born anew by God. And God's most effective way in doing that is through local churches and local communities. So as we send them out, we'll be seeing them. And as the folks who gather, and as we gather next week, and there's more chairs that will be empty, that will be a reminder. Let's pray for our friends, our fellow laborers, as they have gone. And let's continue to do what we've always done, continue to share the gospel with our community and let them know about Jesus. And see these chairs filled again. And guess what we'll be doing again? Hopefully, wouldn't that be phenomenal? Planting other churches as God would lead us. Pastor Josh, Pastor Will, why don't you join me up here with Pastor Brian and Pastor Kevin. And in a few moments after we pray and send them off, we're going to celebrate. These are exciting times. And we've got some cake in the cafe that we want you to join with us in. We'll try and get it right. There you go.
There you go. Josh and Will, we've all studied 1 Peter chapter 5 about shepherding the flock. And a verse that the Lord put on my heart here is, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And that's the protection we want this morning. Lord, we come before you and pray for spiritual protection upon Josh and upon Will. Lord, we know the devil's out there. He doesn't want to see a church started. But these men look to glorify you, look to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in a new town, a new city, to people that have not heard the gospel before. We pray for their protection, Lord. They would continue to equip them every day. May they stay in your word, Lord. May they rest and be confident in your word and in Jesus Christ. I pray for their wives, Lord. All those of us that are married understand the power of having a wife beside us that trusts us and guides us and believes in us. I thank you for Heather and Victoria for coming alongside their husbands, Lord. Pray for their protection, Lord. They would protect them from the devil and their kids, for Carter and for Isla, for Cora, and any other children you bring into these families, Lord. I pray that you protect them. I thank you that their families get to see their father stepping out on faith to do your work. May you be glorified in their walk, Lord.
And Lord, we do pray that you would fill Josh and Will with your wisdom and with your strength. Lord, they have your Holy Spirit. As they've trusted in Jesus, they have your Holy Spirit. God, we pray that you would just continually fill them with your Holy Spirit and strengthen them. Jesus, you said, without you, we can do nothing. You tell us to abide in you and that we will bear much fruit only as we abide in you. Lord, our heart and our flesh, many times they fail. But you, Lord, are the strength of, may you be the strength of Josh and Will's heart. May you be their portion forever. Lord, we pray that when they lack wisdom, that you would give it to them generously, like you promised. You know, you don't find fault. You don't reproach us when we ask. You give generously. At every step, God, we do pray that you would give them wisdom. And Lord, we pray, Jesus, you said that the fields are white for harvest. And you told us to pray that you would raise up laborers for the harvest. Lord, you've done that even now in these days. And God, we pray that you would continue to do that. Just raise up laborers for the harvest across the river, specifically Glenville, Burnt Hills. Lord, we see your example in Scripture that you raise up laborers for the harvest from the harvest. And though as others come to Christ, and we pray that they would, many, 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 that you would raise them up to then turn and be laborers in the harvest. Lord, we're totally dependent on you to do that, and so we ask that you would.
Father, as Josh and Will are here, as their families are here, it's because Jesus said in John 6:44 that nobody comes to the Son except the Father calls him. And Jesus in John chapter 10 said, "My sheep know my voice. They hear me and they follow me. No one will be able to snatch them out of my hand." These men are here because they've heard your call in their lives. And Lord, they heard your call in their lives to this church and to stay in this church. And Lord, to grow and to mature and to minister and be ministered to. And Lord, so we send them out entrusting them to you that they've heard your voice. And for the dozens who are part of this Open Arms Church family who've heard your voice unto salvation in Christ because of your grace and through faith in who Jesus is and what he did for them on the cross, we send them with blessing and with prayer and with our encouragement. And we're grateful, God, that it's your call and not man's doing. And so, Lord, there will be challenging times. There will be, just as Jesus was challenged, just as he was denied, just as he was attacked, he said, "So will my children be who listen to me, who follow me." And so in those physical and spiritual, emotional, mental challenges, oh Lord, we know you will be with them, that they would call out to you. And in the end, because of the testimony of steadiness, of faithfulness, of commitment to you, and how they love one another, that will be a light, that will be example to the Glenville, Burnt Hills, that whole Saratoga area, Lord, will know that they are of you, know that they are different, because, God, of your power in it and in work through them, especially your love in and at work for them. They will love one another, and they will love those who do not yet know you in their midst. And the result, Lord, you will draw them, these precious souls, to yourself in and through the testimony of Fireside Church. Thank you, God, for your word that equips us, unpacks for us these days, and how we ought to be going, how we ought to be giving, how we ought to be praying, so that, Lord, you would be glorified, your kingdom would be expanded, and we who are here, who will stay as part of the Open Arms Church, will lean into you and those ministry areas that will be left void because faithful servants are going. You will raise us up, and we will continue to serve you and continue to be a testimony. How exciting that today we don't divide, we multiply. And that is your plan. And so thank you for calling us into your plan. We treasure you. Oh, Jesus, become more known in a real and living way in these communities, in these towns. We ask these things, we pray these things in your name, agreeing. That's why we say amen, because we agree that these are your thoughts and your ideas as we send them forth. And God's children, And this church body said, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you. We're going to close by singing a song of worship and celebration. And after that, join us in the cafe for some cake. After our bro hug. Love you, man.